Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. It is the Build Up Show. Liverpool take on West Ham on Monday night. I'm Paul Machen. I'm joined by Adam Murphy and by Ross Chanley for this one. Adam, look, I think it's fair to say we were, at worst, a bit disappointed with the Atletico Madrid results. Some people on social media, as heads have rolled miles away from their bodies. We can't help that. Ultimately, what it is, you know, and it's not something we've had to deal with too many times this season, but it's an opportunity to bounce back from disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's rare this team loses, especially in the past 2 years. You probably count it on but like one hand, maybe. So I think that'll probably motivate them more, in a sense, to bounce back and get back to winning ways, because they are so used to it. And, you know, with the form that West Ham's been in, it's arguably no better game to be going into.
There's a degree, isn't there, Ross, that, yeah, if this was away, it might have a little bit more to it, but there's something about having that little bit of fire in the bellies after the Atletico game, it being David Moyes, it being West Ham, who are just a broken entity, really, from top to bottom as a football club at the moment. I think Adam's right. I think if you had to hand pick one of the teams in the Premier League to have at Anfield on a Monday night under the light, it's probably West Ham.
Yeah, there's all those factors coming into it. I think you might be pissed off that they lost to Atleti. And I think, we haven't played at Anfield, the first team, haven't for a good few weeks now. I think, it was obviously Shrewsbury and stuff like that. But, yeah, since the winter break and whatever else, we just haven't seen this team. So for them to get back under, their fans, we've shown that works. I think it'd be good for them to kind of, I don't think there's a lack of rhythm, but just momentum, probably more than anything else. Yeah. I think, we've come against Norwich and Atleti, who are, stubborn sides, very defensive sides.
Well, we had the conversation, I disagree on the rhythm thing to some extent, because I know what you're saying. I think it's splitting hairs to some extent. Yeah. But it was interesting, Pep Guardiola mentioned that he actually ended up quite happy that they had the West Ham game moved to midweek, because it gave him two games to lead into his Real Madrid game to get the players back up and running again. And we had the debate, Adam, prior to the weekend of like the Norwich game. You didn't need Fabinho in that game. We didn't need him, but Fabinho probably could have done with another 90 minutes under his belt. We actually could have done with a few more games, and that's the thing for me. My biggest takeaway from Atletico Madrid was, look, it wasn't a great Liverpool performance, and all the refereeing and the shithouse and all that's been well covered on the Final Word Show this week, and we all know it anyway. But Liverpool need to be, by the time that second leg rolls around, they need to be pairing again. And to do that, they need to just get back into that swing that we were in previously of just playing games and playing at the highest level.
You're completely right. And I think the fact that we've now, look, the second leg of that tie being at Anfield probably does favour us, yeah. In recent events, Barcelona, for one, it's
the very least, yeah.
proven to be so. So I think it's good now that we've got, this little run of games, leading up to that, and West Ham will fill us with confidence. And you obviously said about Fabinho there. This is another game where I'd probably argue that we didn't need Fabinho, but obviously with the Henderson injury, it's looking like he might have to play just for the sake of things. And it gets him another 90 minutes under his belt as well.
Yeah, that's it. And it's because we said about the winter break, Ross, the winter break, and Klopp referenced it himself prior to Norwich. He was like, it wasn't for that week. for the end of the season. You know, we'll never know, because we're not experts in this. We'll never know what impact this had. Because all we ever do, it's like when Liverpool this time last year and we drew a couple of games and we, after we come back off the warm weather break and we came back and we stuttered a little bit and everyone goes, oh, those bloody warm weather training camps and sees that as the problem. But realistically, when the team were capable of walking around and standing up by the time we got to, you know, Madrid, that's why. And that's the thing about this, is it's now a case of getting back up to speed.
Yeah, I think just there's a case for that, but also, you know, talking on rhythm, I think, you know, Atleti, for all the reasons that you mentioned, I thought they were very good as well, actually, defensively. But there was moments within that game where we just need to be a bit more relentless and a bit more ruthless. I think, you know, we talk about how patient we are in our build-up play, but I think sometimes, you know, I noticed in that game, a ball was played out to Trent and it was just behind him. Yeah. You've lost the momentum in that attack already, absolutely. So it's not fast enough. Yeah. And I think, marry that with, you know, the Atleti's, you know, how quality they are and defensive as a unit, and I think they kind of push us out wide, whether West Ham will take this on board as well. I think Robbo and Trent had loads of the ball in that game and they were happy for us just to cross it in, because Salah, Mane and Firmino aren't renowned for scoring loads of headers and stuff like that. Whipping balls in, you know, the defensive players can just head it out all day. But I think there's a quality difference between Atleti and West Ham. You know, it shows in the league table, but it's all right.
This is the level of dynamite analysis from the table here. Yeah,
but it's just, like, it's all right packing loads of bodies in there and we're waiting for Atleti to make a mistake. I don't think it's there because of the quality that they've got in their league and with the Champions League experience and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, without sounding arrogant, I think you're more likely to, or more susceptible to a mistake from West Ham to create that little, you know, what you need to get a breakaway.
Well, David Moyes did actually say it. He said in some interview before the game that he wants to take inspiration from the Atletico game to essentially try and sort of play a similar way. And I watched the first 30 minutes of the City game. He tried to do it a little bit there. And he started off with this sort of, man-marking from corners. And then he went to the zonal and he hailed how good the zonal was and sort of alluded to the fact that he might play that against Liverpool. And obviously Liverpool have been pretty good from corners.
And bang up
of
for
late
this,
as
and
well.
Bang up for this notion of...
He also said he's going to West Ham to win. He's not fucking done that much either.
Yeah. Well, no, they haven't won since the fit in the league, since Bournemouth on the 1st of January. But the point is, I'm bang up for teams trying to come up with new things. Because that's the thing that, you know, what we talk about. That's all Liverpool are missing right now, is just being in the swing of what they do, because they can handle any given situation. When you've got a team who come up against us and they're also having to remember where they're supposed to be standing on the pitch, having to remember a load of complex instructions, as well as running at the absolute peak of their abilities, playing flat out, that will craft opportunities. It might take Liverpool time to adapt to that. You know, it's like anything, if it's a new situation or something they're not expecting, then that is something they're going to have to adapt to in game. But we've become experts at adapting to new situations in game. Yeah. So Moyes wants to mix it up.
It's the quality drop as well, though, because, you know, we've gone from playing Atletico Madrid, sort of notoriously one of the better defensive teams across the whole of Europe, to playing against Adam Cresswell, Ogbonna, Diop. You know, that just simply not going to be as good as
the levels we saw with Atletico Madrid, is another, again, this is our level of analysis. Shock, big news story here. Atletico Madrid, much better than West Ham. And Diego Simeone, better coach than David Moyes. Sure. Who knew? Right, we're going to delve into, we want to talk a bit about the Fabinho stuff. I want to talk about the Jordan Henderson injury and how that's likely to impact Liverpool's midfield. But first, it's time for the Football Index update. Right, yes, it is the Football Index update. For those of you not up to speed with what we're doing, Football Index have given me £1,000 to put in and build my portfolio. The proceeds generated from this will be going to a charity of our choice. Things have been going pretty well so far, but I am very, very sorry to report that we're having our first little sticky patch. I asked you guys for some help and thoughts and advice on what I should be doing, who I should be bringing in. We had a poll out on the Twitter, Redmen Twitter account. You told me to bring in Neymar. I brought in Neymar, where we've got 12 shares in him. But he is currently who we're taking the biggest loss on. His share price is down 26p, which means we're down £3.12 on that at the moment. Mohamed Salah was my call. I said, no more Sadio Mane, for whatever reason. I brought Mohamed Salah in, and that's not quite working out either. But we're still looking good. We're still looking strong in general on everyone else. Kai Havertz is on the up. We've seen an increase of 28p share on that. So that's £6.72 at the moment. Up. Curtis Jones, obviously flying. He's been the biggest success story for us so far. Up 43p per share, which means up £20.64. Trent flying. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has turned the corner again as well. And he's on the up. And I would expect, I would hope, he's going to get a run of games with Jordan Henderson being out injured. That could definitely help that. And Joe Gomez, who, again, was really on the brink. We were teetering about whether or not to keep him in the portfolio because it wasn't going in the right direction. Again, he is now. He's up 9p per share, which means up 7.92, which means at the moment our portfolio is up to a profit loss of £37.32, which I think you'll remember from the last update we did is actually a little bit of a drop. So we want to kind of turn things around again. I definitely need help. I need advice. Make sure you tweet at the Redmen TV and leave some suggestions in the comments. What would you be doing in this situation? If you're not familiar with this, obviously you get to buy and sell shares in your favourite footballs or football. You just got a feeling about. You know, look, I backed myself big time on some of the younger Reds, and that's you know coming up trumps at the moment. But I definitely need to. I think I need to broaden things out. Neymar, I wouldn't have had him. That's your fault. but no, Neymar's not quite working out, but worth hanging on to for the next round, for the second leg of the Champions League. Maybe. Thoughts in the comments below. Yeah, we need a little bit of work. I need your help. I need better help than you've given me so far. So yeah, keep it in the comments below. And yeah, make sure you get involved with Football Index. Yeah, make sure you get involved with Football Index. Head over to their YouTube channel if you want to find out a little bit more about how the mechanics of the system operates to get yourself up to speed. And yeah, get involved. I'm having loads of fun with it, even though it's not quite going as well as it was last week. As we mentioned, the Fabinho thing, he definitely needs just more and more minutes. I think it shouldn't be underestimated, really. I think it's actually been good in Jordan Henderson's favour that Fabinho's kind of not come back brilliant because it actually helps us, or any remaining doubters, see just how great Jordan Henderson is in that six when he's given license to play it the way he wants to play it. But I think we'd all agree that Fabinho's in should be in our best midfield today.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course he should be in it. And, you know, as I said earlier, West Ham's probably not a game whereby we need him. Obviously, Henderson more than likely being out sort of forces the hand a little bit, and it's not a bad hand to be dealt, of course.
Oh, yeah. When you consider some of the awful hands we've had to play over the years.
And like you said, you know, with sort of Fabinho being out and allowing Henderson playing that six again, I think it also sort of shows how good he actually is in the six. If you remember, obviously, before we started playing the eight more, so many people criticised him. You know, people wanted him out of the club. They said he wasn't fit to be captain. And then we switch him to the eight, allow him to be a bit more free and play his own game. And, you know, all of a sudden, we're seeing the Jordan Henderson that we all know to be brilliant from, you know, from like the 13-14 season. So I think it's benefited both players in the long run.
Absolutely. It's the Henderson thing. Well, I think it's a good point to make, because you think back to the period where Henderson came into the team, Ross. He came in against a bunch of teams that Liverpool are conclusively better than, and you know I think you need Fabinho for the biggest. Look at the Man City game at Anfield. You know, like he stepped up in that game. He was a difference maker, literally. You know, scoring the goal as well. But you need him in those massive games. So like, again, we need him for Atletico Madrid, absolutely without a doubt. But there is a thing where, and look, this is an opportunity for him to step up as well. There's a handful of lads there for whom Klopp will be saying this week, right? Jordan Henderson's going to be missing for a game or two here, lads. Anyone fancy his place? Because that's the system I've operated. You come in and prove yourself. And that goes, you know, Fabinho was probably in that, we probably all felt about 3 months ago that Fabinho was unassailable in that number six position, and now all of a sudden Jordan Henderson's come back in and gone, I'm doing it better than you, mate. So there's a lot to prove, as well as him actually just finding form and fitness.
Yeah, you said, you know, Fabinho needs game time, but there's others there, you know, you've got on the list there of Ox and Keita, of like, you know, it's a perfect chance for them to go and do it, particularly for Ox as well, because I think he's been playing out wide left when he's played the past 2-3 games. Yeah. And you think, I personally thought he doesn't play there, but he's impressed me a lot more than I thought he would have done. But his obviously preferred position is in the middle, so I think, you know, there's a good chance. And playing West Ham as well, and again, not to sound arrogant, it's a good chance to get on the score sheet as well for some of these players, or, you know, to contribute towards, you know, assists or something like that.
He scored last time against West Ham as well.
But he started out wide left there, I think. Oh, no, Origi was out wide left. He's then get game time. Now, okay, I think someone we want to see a bit more of. I think someone was wanting to start against Atleti. You know, these teams which are quite defensive. Fabinho, I think, brings a presence as well as his quality. I think, you know, up against the likes of Declan Rice and whoever else has got in centre midfield, I think you kind of need that. As well as his game time and stuff like that. But, you know, that's where they're probably going to hurt you, isn't it?
I mean, that's the thing about Fabinho. I don't want to run the risk of talking about him like he's some just, like, limited destroyer that we put into the middle of the box. It's not the case at all. He's fabulous on the ball. He's got a great range of passing. He's got everything, hasn't he? He's borderline a complete midfielder. But I reference this a lot, but it's because it's the one that's the most starkly stands in my mind, was Sheffield United away, when we just needed someone to carry the ball a bit more, and it's not as natural to him. I think, you know, he's very comfortable dropping in between between the two centre halves and whatever. We saw probably a bit too much of that against Atletico.
He'll have people in front of him, because I think the likes of Naby Keita or whatever, I think people were screaming for against Atleti, because he's got the ability to do a step over, go past someone, or he's got the balls to go and try something different. I think he got slated against Norwich for trying different things, but, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, you know,
there's always got to be one. I find the Keita stuff a bit funny, because I think people are so, because Liverpool were so crap for so long, people have just got a percentage of their life.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That it was dedicated to bitching about Liverpool players, and they don't really know how to fill that, because it's such an unusual set of circumstances to pick your phone up and just, apropos of nothing, say something nice about someone, you know what I mean? Or something that people love a bit of misery, and that Kate is just the one at the moment where...
It's a scapegoat, isn't it?
Yeah, he absolutely is the scapegoat. And look, I find it mad that I should even have to make a case to defend them. The only thing that needs defending about Kate, and I'm not sure anyone will really necessarily go to bat for him over this, is that he's not fit enough often enough. Yeah. That's his only problem. It's not that he's not good enough. Like, Klopp loves him, and you've only got to watch him. Chris said this on the news show. You can see he's a player just by, you know, you just watch someone play and you know they're dead good at football. It's why other people who say Paul Pogba's shit are wrong. He's dead good at football. Then there's loads of other issues that are around him. It's like I never liked Balotelli, but he was a supremely naturally talented lad on the ball. Naby Keita the way he glides past midfield, you know, the midfield, it's effortless, and not many people have got that kind of talent. And I wonder, Adam, whether there's just something where Klopp might look at this and say, okay, ideal set of circumstances, he might have gone with Hendo in the six for this, and you can be have a general all-round, more attacking midfield, but maybe that might have been a Henderson, Wijnaldum, Keita, Wijnaldum, Ox, whereas maybe having Fabinho facilitates Ox and Keita in the midfield?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort of alluding to later on, that's kind of part of my preferred 11, because obviously now we know Fabinho will definitely be starting. Just to have him sort of sit in the six role and give both Keita and Ox the licence to go forward, because look, we know how West Ham are going to play. They're going to play with the sort of low block, look to sort of, you know, be disciplined, see out the game, and to have two players with so much flair and so much ability to, you know, drive at defences and create space for others. And obviously, you know, Ox is he's no stranger to shooting from you know, from far out either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is one of them games, isn't it, where Adam's dead right, Ross. David Moyes, in all his football genius, is going to try to defend for his life here, because he should do. Because I don't, even if he said, go ahead, lads, handbrake off, go for it, it's not going to be a practice thing. That's going to be trusting the lads on the pitch to just come up with something. So he's going to defend for his life. He's going to defend deep. And so naturally, we are left with the choice of you're playing crosses from deep. And what having them eaten alive by their centre halves, because, you know, even the most basic of centre half can deal with a bunch of balls just lobbed into the box. Alternatively, you know, we're not going to be able to get in behind loads, so, like, you know, you're going to have to use Salah in a different way, Mane in a different way. It makes sense to have more lads just play through the middle, have more lads around the edge of the 18-yard box. And look, Gini Wijnaldum can do it. And he might well be tasked with doing it. I mean, there's a chance he plays in the six in this game. You know, it's possible. But I can't see past any. I can't see any reason why I wouldn't put Ox and Keita and just say,
no,
blitz them.
It's again making more space and dragging people out of their position as well. You're talking about putting Fabinho in there, and when you watch him, you think the amount of time that he has on the ball and the space in front of him, because those two midfielders in the eight have pushed up and created that space for him. Yeah. And whether they tuck inside and create more space out wide, you've got loads of options. I think it's dead difficult for West Ham, and I said the same thing about Norwich last week, of how do you set up against Liverpool, because I was slightly critical of Norwich because I said I thought they might have come out more and tried a bit better, because they need to get points on the board, as to West Ham, it'll be 19th in the table. But like you just alluded to there, what do you do? Like, if you're West Ham, it's fine, like they did it, you know, the Olympic Stadium, sitting back for most of the game, well, and hit us on the break.
He's in panic mode though, because it's not working for him, and you know, we're living in a Premier League now that saw Watford change the manager twice in a season. Yeah. You know, and West, he's already lost the job once. There's no way David Moyes is, you know, they will sack Moyes because they've sacked Moyes before. He'll be looking at it and thinking, well, I'm not going to win this game.
You know, but the fixtures they've got coming up as well.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, their run until mid-April is horrendous. So they won't be banking on taking points from this game. They might think, we'll have a good go for a point. Hey, listen, if it's 0-0 with minutes to go, we get a corner, anything's possible. That's always Moyes' mentality. Sorry, Ross, but I just think his head will be, and it was this against Man City, because they were criticised for having no ambition in that game, because 4-0 or 5-0 could cost him his job, even though no one expects. Because all of a sudden, well, what have you got? What are you bringing to the table? You're bringing embarrassments to the table, and not just a lack of results.
It's almost damage limitation, isn't it? And the thing is, like, it might be different with City, but I think when you play Liverpool now, it's like they're not expected to win. So if you just lose 1-0, 2-0, you know, like you said, you know, it sounds a bit patronised, but, you know, at least you've had a go. But they caused us issues at Olympic Stadium. They played on the counter-attack, and, you know, bar Trent hitting his own post, like, you know, they have one or two issues of doing so. But Liverpool will be prepared for that. I particularly haven't just lost as well. You know, it's just like this fucking poking a beast, isn't it? I'm just going, like, okay, we're dead annoyed now. So, and combine that with people that want to prove a point. You know, Keita and Ox, as much as, you know, to Keita gets slated for, you know, not playing, he wants to play good football. He wants to win games of footy, isn't he?
The key for them, Adam, is going to be in looking to frustrate us. And talk about, you know, we saw the best of Mo Salah in the other, you know, in the away game against these, where he was just supreme, absolutely unplayable. But this, you know, we've seen it happen to him, where if there's games where he feels all the pressure's on him to be the guy who breaks the deadlock to score the first goal, particularly when it's a it's a tight defence, and he starts doing that thing where he's doing little drag backs and trying to beat four men on the edge of the box. That's going to be the key to them getting anything out of this game, and that's why I think there's a big pressure, but you know there's going to be an ever increasing pressure on the Liverpool team to break it down, and that's why, you know, game plan wise, you just need to go out there and get your foot on the throat from minute one and test the resolve. Because it's all well and good going in with the game plan. We're going to sit here, we're going to be tough, we're going to fight Liverpool for every inch. But if you go in and you're a goal down inside the first 10 minutes, it's very hard to maintain that mentality.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's why Oxlade-Chamberlain could be so important to this game. You know, like I said earlier, he's no stranger to a shot from far out. And, you know, we might need that. You know, if Salah is, you know, not finding the space out wide, he isn't able to sort of run past two, three players, like you said. Sometimes we might just need, you know, someone to just take a shot from 20, 25 yards out, you know, take a couple early on, test the keeper, you know, show, you know, we are here to put the pressure on you. And, you know, we're not just going to let your defence sort of, you know, you can mark Mane and Salah out the game all you want. We've got threat down the middle as well.
Mane's an interesting one, I think. Ross, obviously, we know now that it was tactical taking him off against Atletico. He was getting sent off. You know, whether he deserved it or not, he was getting sent off. You know, it was a couple of little clashes with the arm, wasn't it? Having already picked up a yellow card, but psychologically for Sadio Mane, he's just going to be desperate to get out on that pitch, and desperate to go and put a marker down.
You very rare to find a chance where he's only played 45 minutes in the game for Liverpool since he joined us, actually. But you know, I didn't see it first, and I thought it was coming together. And obviously, I've not seen the elbow back yet. He will be annoyed with that, the fact that he's missed out, but he's had a little bit of rest, and he looked like one of our more attacking threats against Atleti, so he will be up for it. But again, on the back of that, we need him for the second leg. So yeah. it seems like the wise choice afterwards, you know, and a relief that he's not injured. But I think we've seen it from the whole season from Mane. I think someone said, like, he's out of everyone, he's the most desperate to win this Premier League. Yeah. I think he just likes playing football. Yeah, he just wants to score goals. He's just sort of absolutely going snot teams week in, week out.
It's going to be interesting to see the mentality of the side. I think we're starting to see that their mentality is absolutely paramount. It's been first rate, beyond first rate for the longest of times. You know, we're coming up on matching Man City's winning streak, aren't we? Yeah. In Premier, you know, is that 17 games, is it right?
I think we're on 17. Yeah, we'll be 18
then. But also, I think other than that, just losing that game in the Champions League, we've been lucky over the last couple of years that we've been able to lose games that it doesn't matter. You know, we couldn't afford to lose games in the league last season because it was so tight with Man City constantly. Whereas you can lose a game in the Champions League and still go through. And that's the thing, because I've had so many conversations about invincibles and 100 point, you know, breaking 100 points and all this kind of stuff. And well, you know, I was getting asked it by my brother-in-law, what do you think they should do? What would you do? And will he start to rotate? And he said, I was listening to Talk Sports, and they were saying, you're going to start to rotate in the Premier League. I was like, this is a conversation for like 3 weeks, because we've got the second leg of the Champions League and an FA Cup game to come between then. We've just basically seen a glimpse of our future. And as much as they'll be determined to go and put it right, and they'll feel they can put it right, the glimpse of the future is no more Champions League football for this season. That's what the glimpse is. Whether, you know, even if it's only a little crack of light through the door of the future, they'll want to just get back down to business in the Premier League and go, well, hang on, we're on for something here. Let's repurpose, let's refocus, let's make sure this becomes our ultimate priority. And going back to what we were saying at the top, I wouldn't want to be West Ham facing a Liverpool squad that has that mentality.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, like you said, that the conversation for the rotation, it comes for a couple of weeks' time, because let's say we did turn the tie around, we are through into the next round of the Champions League, then obviously Klopp's going to prioritise winning the Champions League over going invincible in the Premier League or getting 100 points plus in the Premier League, because we know that's just about wrapped up now. So, you know, we're going to want to, I think the fight to sort of get back into that tie is almost going to, we're going to see a glimpse of that fight in this game, obviously directly after, like Ross said earlier, it's like poking a beast, especially with Mane as well having to only play in a half football. Like you said, he's going to be itching to get back on the pitch, and I think the reaction to the Atletico game is going to show in this one.
It might even be on some individual performances as well. You know, obviously Manny went off at half time, but even for the likes of Trent, I think he might be pretty frustrated with his performance in that game as well. I thought like he was on the ball loads, but I think for, like whatever the set pieces they were trying out just wasn't working. Yeah. His delivery wasn't great, and he's allowed that because he's. He's young, he's allowed to make mistakes, he's still growing, so you know, it's absolutely fine. But on a personal level, I bet he's annoyed with himself and think, I can fucking do better than that, and I'll do it now.
No, absolutely. And like I say, I think conversations about bigger conversations about what Liverpool can achieve this season, they were a great flight of fancy for a few weeks while we were waiting for the Champions League to come back. But that's the thing, you know, there's a point at which Liverpool could be out of all the cup competitions in 3 weeks' time. And then you've got no choice but to, you know, 100% focus on the Premier League. And that's why these next upcoming Premier League games, up until that point, you've just got to keep grinding. You've got to keep going. You can't afford to let your eyes, you know, be diverted elsewhere, because, you know, they won't be thinking this way. This is just a little bit of fearful fan thinking, of course. But, you know, that whilst I say Klopp won't be, I think he would always, you're right, I think he would always preference more silverware over particular records in the league. But the Premier League is the thing that is within our grasp. That's job number one, and then the step towards that happens on Monday.
All the targets will be the Premier League first and foremost, Champions League, FA Cup, and then after that, you know, your targets might change. Right, the Premier League's done. Okay, we're out of those two competitions. We're going to make a new target now because that's the mentality we've got. Go and get the gold in Premier League. Yeah. Just go fucking.
Well, that's
them.
Exactly it. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, if we get knocked out by, you know, that's why the Chelsea game coming up in the FA Cup is so interesting, and how we approach that, because the more you want options, you want those chances, you want those options, and you know, if we go out with a team of kids in that, you know, we'll have this debate at nearer to the time, of course. And then go out, you might well be missing that competition if you then lose to Atletico Madrid and find yourself only with the. That's the issue we're at the moment. We're in danger of being in a situation where we're disappointed with only winning the Premier League, which is fucking madness, by the way. It's absolute insanity. And again, it's up to the players to go out and do what they got to do now, because we should all be made up. Listen, Liverpool, if Liverpool win the next five games or whatever it is it's going to take to win the league, and then lose every game between now and the end of the season, we shouldn't be asked. We should literally be sat with our fucking deck chairs out with the fucking Premier League painted on our fucking, spray painted onto our fucking faces, laughing our heads off for the rest of the season. You know what I mean? Having a 3 month long party.
You settle for mediocrity, Paul.
No, yeah. But that's the point, is that this side's on the verge of absolute historical greatness. And so I hope anyway that now they've had a couple of games back since the break, and it's hopefully the perfect storm of everything culminating on Monday.
Can we have a live reaction to Si Fletcher's face when the team news comes out for the FA Cup?
The thing is, it'll be all right because it's not Everton. He won't be asked. And also, he's on Aldi, so if he's angry, he needs to sort his priorities out. Let's have a little chat then about what we think team-wise. Adam, you said it earlier, you think Keita, Ox, Fabinho, but any surprises anywhere else?
No, I'd sort of, apart from that, I'd obviously go as strong as possible. The front three sort of speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And then the sort of regular back four. And Alisson, but what I would like to see at some point in the game, hopefully if we're sort of comfortable two, maybe three goals up, is to get Minamino some game time. Because he's only, I think, he's played literally just over an hour of Premier League football.
Yeah.
I think he got like 9 minutes against Southampton and like 50-odd against
Wolves. There's a few lads like that though, isn't there? That's the thing. That's what I was talking about. This is the conundrum we're faced with now. Of like, I mean, it was only 2 weeks without a game. But you've just the plates are all spinning, you know, to use the old analogy, but there's a few probably starting to wobble, and it's hard, you know, like Shaqiri, we don't know where, no idea what's going on with Shaqiri, to be honest, but like he's an example. Adam Lallana, James Milner has dropped into that, you know, to that game in the place of Jordan Henderson. We've used him in so many big games. We'll need to get some games for him. You know, we've not even mentioned him. We've not really talked about Lallana. He might actually fancy one of the two of them. He might well fancy like a Genie Milner Keita or a Genie Milner Ox as a midfield.
You could probably put Curtis Jones in the conversation to play some role in this game.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, no, I don't think he will. But yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, because
yeah,
that's the. There's just too many lads who need too many in the pecking order of things, you need footy at the moment.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have, isn't it? I'd be happy with any combination at the minute. I think again, some people said to fell off with Jean's performance against Atleti in midweek, and you know, we were saying before about, you know, not being able to see people can improve or get better or can just have an off game. I think he's one of them, but I don't think you necessarily need to. He needs to play this game, as we mentioned before. Minamino is the one for me, but I think we're still unsure where he actually plays, and I feel really sorry for him because most of the times he's played with kids or a mix of fringe and whatever. It'd be nice to see him in the setup, but also I want to get the Premier League just done and dusted and just win this game. I think you're right. If you find yourself in a position where you're 2-3 goals up, get him some game time, get him to learn the system, get him, you know, used to it, because you know, we talk about having a winter break. You could come towards the back end of the season and you could foreseeably have an injury to, you know, one of the front three, or you know, the midfield crisis of, you know, if we're in the FA Cup still, we're still in the Champions League. He's going to be vital towards the back end of the season, and you embed that now.
Well, that's it. You know, we saw it last season, didn't we? You know, you need to have as many of those lads ready to go. You know, let's compare 13-14 when we were forced to, you know, put Aspas into games, you know, right, and hope magically he was just good enough, having not played football, compared to you putting Divock Origi in against Barcelona and he scored in 2 goals because we've got him ready to go for that. You know, it's interesting. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below, or tweet us at the Redmen TV. What you think in terms of the midfield three? Is it as obvious as going Fabinho, Keita, Ox, or do you mix it up? Do you need to get James Milner in that team just to make sure, because Henderson's fitness could play a part in that. If Henderson's going to be out for a couple of weeks, then you probably want your vice-captain on the pitch a little bit more than maybe we consider. But your Klopp, what do you do?
I think the thing for Genie as well, and this shouldn't really matter, is the fact that he's played midweek. I don't know if we just had a winter break, but it'd be good for him if the others do play for him to rest this. And then we're playing Watford afterwards. They're like a very physical side.
He does play a lot of football, though, Genie.
Yeah. But that comes into his element. I think Genie, you know, he's fucking strong, isn't he? Just knocking people off the ball with his arse. I think, you know, he can have one eye on Watford, maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting problem to have, Leslie, thought. Score prediction then, Ross, what do you think?
3-0.
Adam? I'm going to go 4-0.
I'll take a 4-0. I'm banging for a point. We put a lot of fours past West Ham in recent years, so I'll take another one of them, certainly. The only other note of interest in the fixtures is that Man City have the chance to close the gap to 19 points. If they go away to Leicester at 5:30 on Saturday and win.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I hope that doesn't come back to help me. But, no, it's mad. I've switched off to all of the footy.
But they've got a tough run of fixtures as well, Man City, haven't they? You know,
the Real Madrid games.
Yeah,
as well.
I think they got United in a couple of weeks as well, and Leicester, so it's tough.
Chelsea Spurs, half 12 kickoffs, an interesting one as well, but not to us.
Yeah. Weird. I mean, if it's worth noting, I think Man City will probably turn Leicester over again.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3-0, something like that.
That's a mad game, that, isn't it? Like, if Leicester do anything there, I mean, Man City are, I mean, they're already there, aren't they? But they are left with no choice but to 100% focus on a competition that they're currently banned from. Which, when you consider, I always thought that the wonderful irony of this, because I was on Radio 5 in the summer, just ahead of the Charity Shield, with a Man City fan who was adamant that, like, Champions League was nowhere near as difficult to win or as important as the Premier League. And they've been going on about it for ages. And yet, you know, Pep Guardiola loves the Champions League. So when I was at the Manager's Awards thing as well, in the end, he referred to it as his trophy. Like, honestly, you know what I mean? It's fucking, I love it. I really like that notion. Really like it. So Leicester, Brendan, so do it for the laugh.
They're banned from one competition and they're out the running for the other one. That's what they,
And they've cheated to get to this position as well.
Yeah. And they can't sell tickets for the Carabao Cup final either.
Oh my God, have you seen that? If you haven't seen this, go and check out the Man City tweet that says what the eligibility criteria are to get a Carabao Cup final ticket. Effectively,
buy a tin of Carabao.
Effectively, if you're an Oasis fan, if you once bought, or if you listen to a song off Definitely Maybe,
you qualify.
You qualify for the final ticket, which is brill. It's cracking. Go and check it out, definitely. Anyway, listen, lads, that's been an absolute pleasure. Let us know thoughts on anything we've discussed in the comments. As I say, tweet in at the Redmen TV as well. And on that, we'll be back post-match on Monday night outside Anfield with the usual raft of content. We'll see you there. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.